This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Indeed, all praise and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil that is within our souls and the evil that results from our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none shall misguide them. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be led astray, none shall guide them back to the right path. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his final prophet, servant, and messenger. Allah tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, be God conscious, fear him, and do not die except as Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in another verse, O mankind, be God conscious, who has created you from one soul. And he created from it its mate, and from both many men and many women. And be God conscious of the laws of Allah and the rights of Allah and whom you ask of one another. And by the wombs that bore you, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful over you. O you who believe, be God conscious, speak the truth. He will render your deeds righteous, and he will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has indeed achieved a great victory. Verily, the best speech is the speech of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst affairs are those which are of religious innovations, for all of that is misguidance. All misguidance leads to hell. After the Quraysh broke the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which was originally supposed to last for 10 years, it lasted for about a year, and they had basically supplied weapons to Banu Bakr, who were allied with the Quraysh. They supplied weapons to Banu Bakr, and Banu Bakr went on a killing rampage of the Bani Khuza'a, who were allied with the Muslims, and they were Muslims themselves. So the Prophet ﷺ geared up for what we know in the seerah as Fath Mecca, the conquest of Mecca. Now, putting aside the details of the preparation and what went into it, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear to his companions that this conquest would be as swift as possible, and he would avoid bloodshed in all ways possible. Except for 4 men and 2 women. Why? The Prophet ﷺ was ready to forgive all the people who hurt him, who violated the laws of Allah, who had oppressed Muslims, who had tortured Muslims, who had exiled the Prophet ﷺ, who had humiliated him, who tried to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was ready to forgive all. But there were 4 men and 2 women that the Prophet ﷺ said, due to their war crimes, due to their extensive history of torturing and murdering Muslims in the Meccan period, the Prophet ﷺ gave an exception that those 4 may be apprehended and dispatched and executed. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ was so serious about these 4 and men and 2 women that he said in the hadith, he said, even if you find them clinging on to the curtain of the Kaaba, you may do so. One of these 4 individuals was a well-known person by the name of Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, the son of Abu Jahl. Now, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, like his father, they, in the beginning, or at least for Ikrimah, they hated Islam, they fought Islam. And Abu Jahl, as you know, he left this world in a state of utter disbelief and disgrace and humiliation. But Ikrimah was one of those 4 people marked. Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, he was still trying to rally troops to fight back against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking over Mecca. And when he realized that there was no other way but to escape, he rode his horse and he went westward towards the Red Sea, towards the coast of the Arabian Peninsula, fleeing for his life, knowing deep down in his heart the crimes that he had committed. He was a marked target, and deservedly so at that time. When he got to the coastline, he embarked on a ship, a boat, and he tried to cross over, and unexpectedly there was a large storm that formed over them, and there were huge waves, and it was extremely difficult. And so the captain of the boat said to the passengers on the boat, including Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, he said to them, "Akhlisu." Be sincere, yani be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ لَا تَنْفَعُكُمْ فِي مَوْضِعٍ هَذَا. Because your gods will not help you in this position. In this situation, your gods will not avail you. So, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, he thought about it. He says, what do you mean by be sincere? And see, the pagan Arabs, before Islam, they knew well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the Lord of the universe. So whenever they got themselves into difficulty, whenever they were stuck in a horrible situation, like, you know, stuck on a boat somewhere and there's a huge storm, they would cast aside all their false gods and deities and idols, and then they would say, they would be pure in their dua to Allah. فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينِ. So when they rode the ship, how did Allah describe them? And they would encounter some waves, they would make dua to Allah, pure dua and tawheed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them, what did they do? إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. They would do shirk. At this moment, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl knew he was in a very tough spot. So he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had a moment of humility. And he said, if it is sincerity that will save me on the open seas, and nothing else except sincerity to Allah is going to save me on the open seas, then surely sincerity to Allah in tawheed and in worship and in dua is what will save me on land. He said, O Allah, I promise that if you deliver me safely back onto earth, I will go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will place my hands in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, symbolizing his Islam, as well as pledging of allegiance and support and belief in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I will go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, place my hands in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will surely find him to be forgiving and generous. And sure enough, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. And Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, he went back to Mecca and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he declared his Islam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, ha ha, criminal, we are looking for you. You have delivered thyself to my hands. Now you shall suffer the fate. No. The Prophet ﷺ, immediately he welcomed him. He says, you are safe. He welcomed him into Islam. Brothers and sisters, this story of Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, we might think we are talking about this story to talk about how generous the Prophet ﷺ was in forgiving those enemies who harmed him and harmed the community of the Muslims. Yes, that is one lesson to be derived. But more importantly, it is the power of dua of Ikrimah. That he knew that if he was to be saved, that if his dua was to be answered, that he had to have pure intentions to devote his ibadah, his ritual worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, Allah tells us in the Quran over and over again about his promise that he will answer our duas. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord says, make dua to me and I will answer you. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And so if they ask you, if the servants ask you, O Muhammad, about me, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell them that I am indeed near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ, I answer the dua of the one who seeks, so that they may be guided. Brothers and sisters, we sometimes go through difficulties in life, and difficulties are a part of, it's guaranteed a part of our life. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us during those times, and yet our du'as are not answered apparently to us on the spot. And sometimes we wonder, why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't answer the du'a? But for some other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers them immediately. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes answers the du'a of the non-believers. How is that so? And I'm here to tell you that your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your fasting, your worship, your devotion, all of those things do not give you the right to say that you deserve something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a transactional relationship. Even if Allah didn't answer your dua, you still have to fast, you still have to pray, you have to do all of those things. But when you make dua and you expect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give it to you on the spot, and when He doesn't give it to you, you start having doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is incorrect. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers all of your du'as if only you truly believe that He will answer them. There is nothing that you can ask that will decrease Allah in His kingdom and in His majesty and in everything that He owns. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ, before we close for the second khutbah, the Prophet ﷺ tells us in an authentic narration that whenever you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, three things occur. And Allah does not betray His promise. Three things occur. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you. You ask for something, Allah gives it to you. Or perhaps you're asking for it, but something else was supposed to come that was worse, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed that other scenario, that worse scenario from you because of the dua that you had. Example. A parent makes dua that Allah gives his child or her child shifa, cure for some disease. It's some sort of long-term chronic illness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this person is making dua, oh Allah, cure my child, oh Allah, restore his health. It's not getting answered. So this person thinks, I make dua and Allah doesn't answer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have, because this person made dua, it could have been written that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to allow that child to pass from this world. But because of that dua, Allah saved them. And the third scenario, brothers and sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what is better on the Day of Judgment. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Brothers and sisters, being persistent in your dua is one of the ways that we mentioned in this khutbah, that you should continuously ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you don't see the results immediately. Allah will give them to you. But I want to end off with one story that shows you how another way you can get your dua answered, simply through adhkar, by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying la ilaha illallah, by saying subhanallah. And of course, this topic of how you get your dua answered, it would be, if we were to continue, it would be going on for 3 hours. But I want to share with you the story of Imam Ahmad. Imam Ahmad was a great scholar, one of the leaders of the four schools of the madahib. Imam Ahmad, as you know, was old in this story that we're going to mention. Imam Ahmad, as you know, today, we know what the mashayikh look like. You can look them up on internet. During the time of the past, people didn't know what the scholars look like. So Imam Ahmad was traveling one time somewhere, and he went to a masjid. By this time he was old in his age. He got to the masjid and he decided that he was going to rest. He prayed Isha and then he decided to sleep. The guard of the masjid came and said, "Get up, get out. It's not for you to sleep here. Get out of here." And Imam Ahmad didn't say, "Do you know who I am? I'm Imam Ahmad." No, he said, "I am an old person. I am traveling. Leave me alone. I just want to rest here." The man said, "Get out." So he kicked Imam Ahmad out of the masjid, not knowing this is Imam Ahmad. So Imam Ahmad sat outside by the door of the masjid on the street. Guard comes, locks the door. "Get out from here. You don't belong here. You need to move." So Imam Ahmad is like, "I'm outside. Leave me alone." So this guard forcibly grabs Imam Ahmad and drags him with his feet, drags this old man, and he grabs him and pulls him all the way and dumps him in the middle of the street. Across the street, there was a baker. Sees this situation, this old man being dragged across the street, and he said, "Oh, old man, come to my shop, come to my bakery. You can stay here for the night." So Imam Ahmed thanked him, put his stuff down, got ready, and he was just observing this baker. And he said, he noticed that this man was doing a lot of adhkar, saying, "Subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." While he was kneading the dough and baking it, and Imam Ahmed said, "How long have you been doing this?" He said, "Doing what?" He said, "This dhikr that you have been doing." He said, "I've been doing this for decades, for a very long time." He said, "And how do you find it?" He said, "I'm used to it." He said, "What benefits do you get from it? What have you seen from your adhkar?" So this baker said, "Allah has answered every single dua that I've asked Allah to give me." Imam Ahmed was shocked. He said, "Every dua that you ask, Allah has given you? Every dua?" And this baker said, "Yes, except one." He said, "What is this one request Allah has not answered you yet?" He said, "I have heard many good things about Imam Ahmed, and I have never met Imam Ahmed in my life." So Imam Ahmed says, "Here I am, Imam Ahmed, this old man. Because of your dua, I've been dragged out from the masjid into your shop so that you can see me now." Because of his adhkar, because of his tasbih, because of his remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his dua. Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabiyyi alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Wa barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab. Wa aqimish shalah."